I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's absolutely refreshing!
When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Welcome in. It is Overtime, 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer with you until 11 o'clock this evening. Plenty of stuff to get into. We got to dive into the Jaden Daniels controversy. We'll get into that around 8 o'clock. Hunt Palmer from the LSU Sports Radio Network, he's going to join us, give some insight into what the thought process is down there in Baton Rouge with some of the stuff going on around Jaden Daniels, so we'll get into that. Want to talk about whether the starters should be in play tomorrow for the Commanders against the Dolphins. B-Mitch and Finley talked about that a little bit earlier today. Want to play some audio from B-Mitch that I think is interesting and will help maybe decide what they should do for tomorrow. And we'll get into some of the things we'll be watching for in tomorrow's preseason opener as the Commanders get set for their first game, the joint practice yesterday against the Miami Dolphins. Day off today, a little walkthrough, and then getting at it on the Northwest Stadium field for the first time this season coming up tomorrow night. That'll kick off at 7 o'clock. And I want to start by continuing a little bit of the discussion around the Washington Nationals, and then we'll get into some football after that. As you know, watching some preseason action today, you're starting to get into that feel. Got the Packers and the Steelers on in studio. Can't wait to watch some football tomorrow. But wrapping up some of what we saw today at Nationals Park, really, really good performance from Cade Cavalli. Best of his career, and watching him deal today was exactly what the Nationals have been hoping for the longest time. And he's really come on of late. He's been one of the better pitchers in the National League, frankly, in the last couple of months. Just the way that he's gone about his business, been so impressive. In July, had a 3.08 ERA, had about 3.8 in June, but turns in a spectacular one for his second start here in the month of August and kind of showed you how he's got that great stuff, and when everything's working for him, he can be a real problem to deal with. And you can tell a pitcher is on when there are pitches that legitimately look like they're going to hit a guy and they're still swinging and missing at it because they can't figure out what the heck is going on. PCA had a couple at-bats today where he just looked befuddled by what was coming out of Cade Cavalli's hand. There was a pitch that I'm pretty sure would have hit him in the front foot, if not the back foot, and he's swinging at it. He had no idea what was coming, and so it was really impressive to watch Cade Cavalli. And it was fun to talk to him after his last start. He gave up 7 hits, 3 of them being solo home runs, ends up turning in a quality start, and he's been one of Major League Baseball's, I think, tied for in the top 10 for turning in quality starts this season or somewhere around there. He's been really, really good this season. And he's been able to post every fifth day, which is always something big for him coming off the injury history that he's had. But to be able to go out there and take that next step has been something that you've been hoping you would do. And as the season's gone on, you're starting to see him be able to take some of those next steps. And I got a chance to talk to him before this start last Saturday. And make sure you go check that out on Bustin' Loose Baseball. It was a really good conversation, about 10 minutes, just talking about some philosophical things about pitching and working off of a fastball versus throwing the curve more and doing some of those things. But it was a lot of fun seeing him be able to carve up hitters today. Only gave up the one hit. Did give up some hard contact, and most of that came off of his fastball, and that's still the funny part about watching Cade. He generally gets knocked around a little bit on his fastball. His off-speed stuff is elite. His fastball can still get hit around a little bit, and so even though he throws 98, that was his average today. It was up a little bit higher than his season average of 96.8, so he's throwing a little bit harder today. That was kind of the case across all of his pitches today. But when he is going, his ability to limit the hard contact off the fastball so that he can get back to that curveball and his sweeper is really impressive. Today, he threw the sweeper a little bit more than he'd thrown throughout the year. 23% sweeper today versus just 12% on the year. His knuckle curve has been his bread and butter this season, and he was spectacular with that once again today. But everything was kind of working for him today, and that was fun to watch, to see him be able to carve guys up. And that's someone that you hope is you can build off this going into next season, regardless of what happens this year. Probably not going to make the playoffs, but this is a positive season for what he's been able to accomplish. Just being healthy this far into the season is a big success for Cade Cavalli taking that next step. But now it's about being able to continue to sprint through the finish line. And what he's been able to do this season, you know, especially these last month and a half or so, has been a lot of fun to watch. And he's someone you're going to be counting on in this rotation with, you know, Connelly Early, who hopefully can get back healthy here soon. And those are some of the questions that are going to have to be answered about who's going to be pitching in the rotation next season. The guy you don't have to worry about, Cade Cavalli. He's going to be one of those guys that you can depend on. And the way he's pitched recently, that's a guy that's a front of the rotation type of arm, not just a guy that's in the rotation, but that's a difference maker, someone that pitches as, you know, maybe a two in a, even in a really good organization, a team that's trying to get into the playoffs, win a division. That's the type of pitching you're getting out of Cade Cavalli. So seeing him take this step and pitch the way that he has been a lot of fun. But I want to talk about some other guys too that have been standing out. And one of the discussions that we were having ahead of the trade deadline was who the Nationals should trade, obviously, and what they were going to do. And one of the guys that was on the block and ultimately got traded was Luis Garcia Jr. And I think a lot of fans were frustrated by that move because Louis was having a career season. He's got another year of control. But part of the reason that I didn't mind trading Luis Garcia Jr. is the Nationals have and immediately had an option that was going to step in and take Louis' role. And that guy is Abby Ortiz. And he has been spectacular since he's come back up. He made a debut against the Yankees a couple weeks ago, or about a month and a half ago or so. Only was up for the one day, and then got called back up immediately after Luis Garcia Jr. was traded away. But in those games, coming into today, he was 7 of 24, 3 homers, 5 runs batted in, a walk, struck out 5 times. And then today, he chips in 2 for 4 with 3 runs batted in, a homer. He's batting .333 with a .355 on base and a .767 slug. Now, he's not going to do that for, you know, the rest of the season, but he's going to be able to give you quality at-bats from the left side playing that first base position, and that's part of why I didn't mind trading Luis Garcia. Now, I was not a big fan of the Foster Griffin deal. I've said as much, and we'll see exactly what happens going forward with some of that stuff, but Abby Ortiz has been able to fill in admirably for Luis Garcia Jr. as he heads to the New York Yankees. He's been someone that I really liked what he's been able to do in AAA this season. And my feeling was, if you traded away Louis, which they ultimately did, and got back relievers, which again, they did, Yovani Cruz being one of them, you've already seen him pitch at the major league level, Jake Bird, another one that you've already seen pitch at the major league level, Jack Siebert was impressive in his first action down in the minor leagues for the Nationals, and then Ben Grable is someone that's very interesting about what he's going to be able to do out of the bullpen. Got a really, really good fastball according to some of the metrics that you can look at. So interested to see if he can maybe get a cup of coffee in the bigs later this season. But they've got two relievers, I'd say one plus reliever in Yovani Cruz, and we'll see if he can rein in some of the wildness, some of the lack of command at times, because you saw last night where that was the bad Yovani Cruz versus we've seen the good Yovani Cruz at times. The stuff is electric. The stuff is one of some of the best relievers in baseball, but he's got to be able to control that. And he hasn't necessarily been able to do that throughout his big league career. But if they're able to do that, Yovani Cruz, a guy that can pitch out of the bullpen and throw harder than anybody else in the Nationals bullpen, and Abby Ortiz, I think that's reaching, if not exceeding, the level you were getting from Luis Garcia Jr. It's certainly right now, the way that Abby's swinging the bat, you know, he's as good as what Louis was giving you. And I don't know that he's going to continue this. I don't know that over his career he's going to necessarily do this. But at the same point, it's not as if Louis's been this guy throughout his career. And I think Louis's turned a corner, and I think he's better. But I also don't know if you're going to expect him to have a 850-plus OPS for the rest of his career. They did a really good job of putting him into opportune spots to be able to be successful. I don't know if the Yankees are going to consistently get that level of play out of Louis. They certainly hope so. But that's something that'll be interesting to monitor. But for the Nationals, it's whatever happens with Louis. You're rooting for him, a great guy. So many people in that clubhouse loved him. I don't think he was a re-sign candidate. So I didn't mind moving off of him. And again, part of the reason was Abby Ortiz, and he's filled in really admirably. He's been really, really good. And then how about Andres Chaparro? He's the other half of the platoon there at first base. And he's been one of the better players in Major League Baseball in terms of slugging percentage since the All-Star break. And what he's been able to do to drive in runs, to hit the ball with some power, has been a massive difference maker for this Nationals lineup. Because you got to think, they haven't had James Wood now for quite some time. And this is still an offense that's generally putting up a lot of runs. They didn't necessarily win the games in this series against the Cubs. It's a really good baseball team, but they're at least able to salvage one. But they swept the Reds in a 4-2 homestand. That's still making up some headway. That's still going in the right direction. In the second half for Andres Chaparro, he's got an OPS over 1,100. He's hitting .292. He's slugging .708. That's a difference maker. That's someone who can really make an impact for you. And I don't know that he's going to keep this level up either. But today was 1-for-4. And it's been so impressive to see this group when they've had to make adjustments. Where, you know, C.J. Abrams had kind of settled into batting in the cleanup spot. Well, James Wood is out. All right, you're batting leadoff one day. You're batting fourth again the next day. You're kind of moving around the order. Dalen Lyle's moving around. Brady House is getting more consistent at-bats against righties. He had a hit today. Different guys stepping up in big roles and starting to come through. Dylan Cruz, you hope to see him have more days like today where he had two hits and a run batted in. Finding ways to step into bigger roles and still be successful, that's something that's going to be a key for this Nationals team the rest of the way. And look, the playoffs aren't over with. It's not as if they have zero chance. I wouldn't say that they have a good chance and they're not likely to make it. But at the same point, you're only 4.5 back. So you give yourself a chance by having a really good week, a really good 2-week stretch. And one of the things that really put this team back was a 7-game losing streak. This team doesn't go on long winning streaks because they generally don't sweep series. You know, the Reds series was just their second sweep of the season. It was their first series sweep at home. So it's really tough to make up ground in the standings if you're not winning more than, say, 4 in a row. If you think of winning the back two of a 3-game series, winning the first two, if you don't sweep. If the most you can ever go is 4-2 through a 6-game stretch, that's making up some ground, but that's not making up as much ground as winning 6 in a row. That's not making up as much ground as winning more than 6 in a row, and it's certainly not putting you back in the spot that you'd love to be after you lose as many in a row as this team did. And so they're still trying to catch up from that. But this is a team that's playing competitive baseball. They're going to fight to the end. They've been resilient all season. And that's been something that's really cool to watch. Is a hallmark of Davey teams was the Scrappy Nats moniker. And unfortunately for the Nationals, the Scrappy Nats moniker usually meant that they were down by 4 or 5 runs and they found a way to make it interesting and get the tying run to the plate in the 8th and 9th inning. And maybe they win it, maybe they don't. But that became the hallmark was, hey, they're going to be down, but they're going to fight to the end. Well, at least with this team, it's not always, hey, they're going to be down. They're going to fight. They're going to get back in games that they weren't in. But generally, too, they're going to turn in some really quality ABs. They're going to work really hard, no matter what the score is, no matter what the situation is. And so it's a credit to this ball club being able to take that next step. And I thought it was interesting on postgame, a couple of, maybe it was this past weekend against the Reds. Someone called in and asked what success would be for this Nationals ball club. And I think that's an interesting way to look at it, because I think pretty much no matter what happens here, you could say that this has been a successful season. Even if they were to have the wheels fall off for the final month and a half, I still think you would classify this as a successful season. Being able to have Foster Griffin turn into what he did, and they trade him at the deadline, even though I didn't love the trade, being able to get assets back in a Foster Griffin type of deal, and for what he turned in that first half and being an all-star, that's a success. Louis turning into something, that was a success after you almost would have considered non-tendering him. Being able to get Curtis Meade for a draft pick that you really hadn't seen yet, even though he's been spectacular. Look up Boston Smith's numbers. He's been really, really good. But being able to get Curtis Meade for someone you didn't, Paul Toboni didn't draft, and you were looking at some of the other guys in the organization and felt good with them. So being able to get Curtis Meade and then turning Curtis Meade into Connelly early, hopefully we get to see early at some point this season. Regardless, though, that's a big success. And seeing the way that this team has played, where their offense has been as good as anybody in the sport, if not better than anybody in the sport the entire season. They lead Major League Baseball in runs scored by 28, and they're leading those Chicago Cubs that they just played and took one of three from in that category. Now, they've given up a lot of runs, and that's been their big bugaboo this season, but I think this season has been a success already. But if you want to try to put like a win total or something on it, I think last year we expected this team to really take a step forward, and they did not. They took a step backwards. And the two previous seasons in 2024 and 2023, they'd gone 71 and 91. I think if this team passes 71 wins, that's got to be considered a success. I mean, again, I think this is already a success, even if they finish the year with 65 wins. That's not going to happen. They're going to get way past that. But even if they finish there, I think it's a success. I guess last year they had 66 wins, so maybe they need to get to somewhere in that range for you to feel like, okay, they matched last year. They're going to blow past that. They're going to go well past the 71-win mark as well. Are they going to get to 500? I don't know. We'll see. There's still a chance for them to do so if they get hot for, you know, a stretch of time. But let's say they get to 75 wins. I think that's a successful year. And it also gets you thinking about next year when you can take that next step, where it's no longer just, all right, it's the start of another rebuild because they fired Mike Rizzo and they fired Davey Martinez, and now it's a whole new philosophy coming in here, and we're going to have to wait a couple seasons for it to kick in. Fortunately for the Nationals, that's not been the case. It's a case of you got Paul Toboni in here, you got Blake Butera and company in here, and they've been able to get career years out of guys that some had thrown to the trash heap, not even talking just at the major league level, but down at the minor league level. Seaver King was the number 10 overall pick not that long ago, and he'd been kind of written off after he'd struggled his first couple of years in the minor leagues. This season's been a revelation, and there's a chance you might see him before the end of the season here and at Nats Park. And so being able to see guys take those next steps and show improvement all throughout the organization, I think makes it a successful season. And now it's just about finishing the season strong. That was kind of the answer I gave on the postgame show about what makes a successful final couple of, you know, month and a half of the season. It's less about the actual win total and more so about when you watch this team, it doesn't look like they threw the towel in a month and a half ago at this time. And then they're just kind of, all right, we're booking our vacation. Let's get out of here. As long as it's something of, let's play good baseball, let's finish strong, don't limp across the finish line, run through the tape at the finish line, and we'll find out where we're at. You know, if it's at 85 games, awesome. That means we got on a hot stretch. If it's at 75 games, fine. That, to me, is what I'm watching this final month and a half for the Nationals, is can you just continue to play at a high level? there's no doubt that there are pieces that are missing. Also, Paul DeBoney told you that he didn't feel like this team was at a point where they could be really competitive in October baseball by the fact that he traded away three of their biggest contributors, one from the pitching staff, two from the lineup. But I think for this Nats team, some of these guys are going through that process for the first time. And I think now that that's passed, it's just back to baseball. It's just back to, we worry about what happens on the diamond. We've got who we've got. We can't be looking at the outside and trying to figure out, are they going to bring somebody in or is this guy going to be gone? No, no, no. You've got what you've got around that clubhouse and go out there and win a ball game. That's all that matters. And I think for some of the guys, it maybe affected them a little bit more than they'd like to admit, but now that's passed. And so now that that is gone, and now that you're 10 days past the trade deadline, I think you're starting to see this team get into more of a rhythm. They lost two or three to the Cubs, and so maybe this series or isn't the best example, but the Cubs are also a good baseball team. They were competitive in these series. Maybe they didn't come up in certain spots and come through, but I think they showed that they can stick with a team like Chicago. And I think this team is going to take a big step forward going into next year, and they're doing some of the stuff without their best player in James Wood. Hopefully he comes back soon. Oblique injuries are always scary for baseball players, but hopefully that's something when he returns, this team's in a spot where maybe they can get hot and win, 8 of 11 or something of that nature. And all of a sudden, you're right back in this race. That'd be a lot of fun. Regardless, I'm excited to see how this team finishes and what other guys step up. Jackson Kent makes his major league debut last night. Who's going to step up with Michaelis being gone? Who's going to step up with Littell being gone? Can you get some effectiveness out of Jake Irvin, who struggled really over the last year and a half? So just different guys, big opportunities for them. Can they step up? All right, let's talk Jaden Daniels, 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. It's been the talk of the town all day today and really the talk of sports all day today. It's been funny just scrolling through social media, some of the memes, the different stuff that they're having fun with Jaden Daniels. What do you make of it? Sends a cease and desist letter to LSU. Seems like he's a little frustrated.
I'm Hannah. I've lost 75 pounds in 20 months with GLP-1s, plus diet and exercise. On Row, I've gone from struggling to run a mile to running farther every day. You can access FDA-approved GLP-1s online. Get the support you need to reach your weight loss goals. Go to row.co/weight to see if you qualify. I'm a paid Row partner. 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's really refreshing!
A burst pipe. A dead water heater. The AC calling it quits. Who do you call? HomeServe is an easy way to handle unexpected home repairs with plans covering stuff basic homeowners insurance usually won't. Instead of scrambling for a contractor, you make one call to get the repair process started. Join the millions of customers who trust HomeServe right now. Go to homeserve.com/podcast for 50% less your first year. That's homeserve.com/podcast. Savings compared to renewal price. Void in Florida.
With the way that some of that stuff has been handled, but what do you make of it? 800-636-1067. Toby Altizer in on Overtime on The Fan. Welcome back. Overtime, 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer with you until 11 o'clock this evening. You want to chime in, feel free. 800-636-1067 is the number to do so. Let's get into it. Jaden Daniels, LSU. What a wild thing last night to get this popping across the the timeline as you're scrolling Twitter. You get the ESPN notification. I'm like, huh? What the heck is this? What the heck is going on? Wes is behind the scenes producing tonight. He's texting me about it and sending it. Make
Dude,
sure
it's
I
wild.
Saw it. I don't know what the heck.
Well, who do you think is in the right?
Well, we're going to get into all of that. I don't know that there is necessarily a right or a wrong, and this is the fun of where we're at. There's going to be lots of opinions. There's going to be lots of people saying things. It's going to be made into a massive deal. And I don't know how much it actually matters, but it certainly is something. It's certainly something I didn't expect. It's certainly something that if you follow Jaden Daniels and his time here in D.C. wearing the burgundy and gold, seemed a little out of character. Seemed like something that I wouldn't have expected to hear from Jaden Daniels. Maybe from another quarterback or, you know, another team or something, I certainly could have seen this sort of thing happening. But I would not have guessed that Jaden Daniels would be engrossed in this type of a controversy. So let's get into some of the different things. If you're lost on what the heck is going on with Jaden Daniels, we're going to talk actual football in a bit. I also want to talk about Jaden Daniels, what we saw at joint practice yesterday. He looked so, so impressive. But if we're just going off of some of the reports we've seen, here's some of the stuff that we saw come across. So Jaden Daniels sent a cease and desist to LSU for using his name, image, and likeness, saying, please stop using me in marketing or my name or image and stuff around the facility and those sorts of things. Reports suggest that Daniels' family was not happy with his number 5 jersey, which was given to sophomore cornerback DJ Pickett. He was a really highly thought of recruit. Last season, he wore number 3 because Brian Kelly didn't think that, Jaden said he wasn't necessarily comfortable with him getting the number 5. So Pickett had been promised the number 5 jersey, but was given number 3 when he showed up on campus in Baton Rouge because Brian Kelly, then coach of LSU, had a discussion with Jaden Daniels, and he said he wasn't comfortable with him wearing number 5. So Pickett wore number 3. Here comes Lane Kiffin. What do you know? Practice the other day, DJ Pickett rolls out to the field wearing number 5. So there was some frustration there. Other reports are saying that Daniels camp has asked LSU to return its copy of the Heisman Trophy that Daniels had won. LSU said they have no intention of doing that. Lane Kiffin has personally spoken to Jaden Daniels. Jaden put out a statement on Instagram saying, quote, I have been locked in on training camp, and that's been my number one focus. I have a lot of gratitude for my time at LSU, and I'm proud of what my teammates and I accomplished there. Obviously, there are issues to be worked out between my team and LSU, and my hope is that it will get done privately. My sole personal focus is on Commanders football. I realize the business of football is unique, and I trust this can all be resolved. Professional statement there from Jaden, but this is just a very weird situation. Something that the timing is weird. The actual process of all of this is odd. And you can look at it from a number of angles. We've seen people on Jaden's side. I would say that a majority of people nationally are making fun of Jaden or on LSU's side. I don't know that there is a necessarily, if there's a right and a wrong. I don't know that anything Jaden Daniels has done is wrong. I don't know that anything LSU has done is wrong. There are some decisions that were made here that I probably would advise against on Jaden's side. But at the same point, if you feel disrespected, if you feel like someone has wronged you, you're going to respond accordingly. And so let's go through some of the things that I have questions about this situation. And I'll give you my thoughts. And again, I want to get your guys' thoughts too, 800-636-1067. Should LSU have given out Jaden Daniels' number 5 jersey? I would say probably not. To know. Joe Burrow had asked to not have his number 9 worn, according to Mark Schlabaugh on Grant and Danny earlier today. He got that info from Brian Kelly when he spoke to him, when he got this tip about this story that he wrote on ESPN last night about this whole situation. If that's the case, and no one's worn number 9 since Joe Burrow left, I would assume a similar conversation had happened with Jaden Daniels about his number 5 jersey. So should someone in Baton Rouge be wearing number 5? I don't think so. you can look at previous Heisman Trophy winners and go through and find plenty of guys have had their numbers worn again. You look at a bunch of Alabama guys that have won the Heisman Trophy, and they've had their number worn pretty much like the next season. Now, I would say Alabama has had a ridiculous number of Heisman Trophy winners. If they're going to retire the number of every Heisman Trophy winner, Alabama would have to stop playing football or change their uniform entirely because they've had a lot of guys come through there that have won Heisman Trophies. LSU, not as many. And so for LSU, their other Heisman Trophy winners have not had their numbers in circulation. Why is that different for Jaden than others? I don't know. I would say that's a contentious point for Jaden and probably a valid point of contention for Jaden. These other guys won a Heisman Trophy here. Nobody's wearing number 9. Nobody's wearing number 20 for Billy Cannon. Why is my number in circulation? To which the LSU side or others might say, Jaden, you didn't win a national championship. Joe Burrow did. Billy Cannon did. Lest we forget, Joe Burrow had the greatest college football quarterback season of all time. And in my lifetime, and I would argue, I never got to watch the great Miami teams back in the day, but I'd argue that's the greatest college football team right there with any of them back in 2019 in LSU. So I love Jaden. I love what he was able to accomplish. I'm glad he's here. He's not Joe Burrow in that respect. He's not Billy Cannon in that respect in terms of he didn't win a national championship on top of winning a Heisman Trophy. But that's not taking away from the fact he won a Heisman Trophy while playing for the LSU Tigers. This, to me, reminds me a little bit of the situation that we saw last season play out with Terry McLaurin. Not the same sort of thing, obviously, a holdout and this sort of thing. But it goes back to the same point for me when I was talking about everything that was playing out and the way that Adam Peters was approaching it, the way that Terry was going about it, the whole situation that went out after it. Was the juice worth the squeeze? Adam Peters may look at it and say yes with Terry McLaurin still. I would have argued no at the time. I would still argue no. It feels like that, and who knows how much that actually affected last season, but it does feel like that had an effect on last season. Is it enough that they would have made the playoffs? Probably not, but it still does feel like there was an effect on last season, the way that whole situation was handled. I would argue in this situation, is the juice worth the squeeze for Jaden? I don't know that it is. I don't. You know that immediately nationally, people are going to side with LSU and the team because they're like, dude, it's just a number. Relax. You're really going to be petty about all this? Relax. It makes Jaden almost look a little bit petty. It also makes it seem when he talks about being on that same level as Joe Burrow and some of the others, while that may be true to an extent, it makes him look like he's thinking of himself maybe a little bit more than he should, which again, he won a Heisman Trophy. So you're one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play at LSU. But the greatest quarterback to ever play at LSU was Joe Burrow. Like the level at which he played at, the way in which he impacted that program is ridiculous. Not to say that Jaden didn't. But I do think there's another level there for what Burrow accomplished with LSU versus Jaden. One of them won a national championship, the other didn't. Is that all on Jaden? No, clearly not. If you watch that LSU team, his defense couldn't stop you and me. So I understand that it wasn't all on Jaden that they didn't win a national championship. But I do think there is something in there that it's going to get passed around nationally that people are going to look like, really? Jaden thinks he was on the same level as Joe Burrow at LSU? And I just don't think that that comes off well for Jaden, regardless of what you think about it. Nationally, I think that's going to be the discussion. That's what people are going to be talking about on social media. And to me, this is where I think for Jaden, you've got to know that that's going to be some of the recourse. You've got to know that nationally, that's going to be some of the talking point here. Locally, I would say a majority of fans are still going to be on Jaden's side, obviously. They're going to side with him. They're going to be JD5 till they die. I get that. That's fine. But the discourse nationally, I mean, heck, I roll into the Nats press box. First thing I run into is someone who's, you know, a fan of another NFC East team, and he's like, oh, Jaden Daniels loves his. You're going to hear a lot of that stuff. It's going to get annoying, But you also have to understand that that's going to come with the territory. Choices, actions have consequences. Unfortunately for Jaden, opting to go this direction is going to come with the consequence of people looking at Jaden as, oh, poor me, you guys aren't treating me correctly. Whether that's true or not, that's going to be the nature of it.
It's a fair angle.
It's whether it is or not, that's going to be the reaction. You know that the second that it happens. Again, I don't think that Jaden's necessarily wrong because I want to get into some of the other stuff from Jaden's perspective. But I think it's a... This is one that maybe you get into not a couple weeks before the season opener. Maybe this is something you get into in March, April, June. Right? Like maybe this is something we do then. I don't know that I'm doing this beginning of August. And obviously they didn't know about this until the beginning of August. DJ Pickett wore number 3 last year. So maybe that plays into this. I just wonder if this was worth it for Jaden. I want to say this, though, real quick, and then we'll get into some other ways to look at this. Is this a distraction for Jaden Daniels and the Commanders? No. No, plain and simple. Jaden Daniels might be asked about it. I think this is sometimes, we do this a little bit poorly. I think this is what you'll hear at times professional athletes talk about compared to what we'll talk about in the media at times. Sometimes we'll drum up the idea of a distraction more than it actually is for a professional athlete. Will Jaden Daniels get asked about this at some point, and maybe at multiple points? Yes. Does that mean that he's thinking about it all the time? No. Does this mean that it's going to take away from his preparation for week one against the Eagles? Absolutely not. Is it something they'll have to talk about? Maybe. I also don't think that the same way you and I at work might get asked a question randomly off the wall doesn't mean it ruins my entire day. Doesn't mean I spend the entire rest of the day thinking about that one thing. It's not like these athletes are simple-minded and can only think about one thing at a time. And as soon as this happens, Terry McLaurin's like, ah, well, I don't know how to run a dig route ever again because I got to think about Jaden. No. I think that this is something that they're going to get asked about. It's probably going to be annoying. I don't think it affects the team at all. I really don't. 800-636-1067. What do you make of this Jaden situation? I got some more thoughts. I think it's interesting that earlier this week we were having a discussion about retired numbers with Joe Theismann, Stephon Diggs. I want to talk about that, and I'll give you my thoughts on Jaden Daniels. 830, Hunt Palmer from the LSU Sports Radio Network going to talk with us, get the perspective from people down in Baton Rouge, but get to your phone calls next, 800-636-1067. Toby.
The GLP-1 pill you've been waiting for is now on Row. Yep, it's finally here. With the same clinically proven ingredient, now in a pill, and now on Row. It's the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. At the lowest price available, that's one daily GLP-1 pill for big results. Now on Row. Go to row.co/listen to see if you qualify. RX only. Go to ro.co/safety for serious side effects and boxed warning associated with GLP-1s.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts.
Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings.
Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Paul Tizer with you on Overtime on the Fan. It's Overtime on the Fan. Toby Altizer with you until 11 o'clock. 800-636-1067 is the phone number if you'd like to call in. The big discussion of the day, Jaden Daniels and LSU at odds over a jersey number, giving away his number 5 jersey to DJ Pickett. Daniels has since sent a cease and desist to LSU for using his name, image, and likeness. What do you make of it? 800-636-1067. I think it's interesting seeing the dynamic between what we've seen earlier this week with Stephon Diggs and Joe Theismann. Should the Commanders issue the number 7 jersey to Stephon Diggs? I would probably say no, which is why I would tend to agree that DJ Pickett shouldn't be wearing number 5. I do think it's probably... there probably is a faction of the fan base that thinks Stephon Diggs should be able to wear the number 7 jersey, but don't think that Jaden Daniels' number 5 should be worn, which I think is a little ironic. Joe Theismann in his time here in D.C. won an MVP, won a Super Bowl. That's really more than Jaden accomplished at LSU in terms of he won the Heisman equivalent here in the NFL in an MVP, and he won a championship, which Jaden wasn't able to accomplish at the college level. But one thing that I'd love to know, and I think this would inform things a little bit more, you can't really go up to somebody and tell me or tell them, hey, retire my number, right? Like, you can't just say my number shouldn't be worn. That's an honor that's bestowed on you. So the things that I need to know, one, why for certain was Jaden's number given out? I know the promise thing, and Lane Kiffin doesn't really care if he frustrates people. That's obvious the way that he lives his life and conducts his business. He could not care less if he ruffles a few feathers. So he looks at it as a promise that was given to him by Brian Kelly, talking about DJ Pickett, and he says, screw it, we'll give him the number 5. But this is what I need to know from Jaden's perspective. Was he asked if he'd allow anyone to wear it? Because the answer then probably would be no if he was asked. Would you let somebody wear that? He would probably say no. But if he was promised that, and he was asked, like, hey, are you fine with people wearing a number? And he says no, and he was promised that no one would, then he has a right to be frustrated. Right? That would be on the side of LSU being in the wrong in this situation. If he was given a promise, and LSU broke that promise, then you can understand where Jaden's frustration comes from. But you also have to understand the recourse you're going to face, which is what you're facing right now. The second that this goes public, people are going to laugh at you for saying it's just a number. 800-636-1067. Let's get out to Peter in Vienna. Peter, what's going on?
Hey, Toby. Appreciate it. And I think the last point you made was the right one. This is a ridiculous argument. It is a number. The number 5 did not win the Heisman Trophy. Jaden Daniels won the Heisman Trophy. This kid coming into LSU wanting number 5 is acting like a child, as if some number is somehow important. It means nothing. Jaden Daniels wanting them to not give his old number out is acting like a child. It doesn't mean anything. This whole problem is just, it's one of two things. It's either superstition, which is childish, or it is you've made a number part of your identity, which is just foolish. They could solve all of this if pro and college teams simply randomly assign numbers, new numbers, every single year, and nobody got to wear the same one. It is the dumbest thing for us to be talking about during training camp. And I know what you said. He's a professional. He's a smart guy. This is not going to get in his head. It's not going to be Terry getting distracted. The fact of the matter is, it is going to get in his head because somehow it's important to him. It may not distract him and make him a worse quarterback, but it is going to take a little bit of attention away from what he's doing, especially with a new offensive coordinator. The whole thing frustrates me beyond belief. That's all I got to say.
No, I appreciate the phone call, Peter, and I understand that. I mean, ultimately, when you think about the grand scheme of this season and football, this is a little stupid to be discussing. What we're going to be discussing, whether someone should be allowed to wear your number at your former college or alma mater, and whether they can display your name, image, and likeness. It's a little bit crazy, but it's something that clearly matters to him. Think about when he came into the league, by the way. The number 5 means something to him. We should have known that already. Why? You know who wore number 5 before Jaden Daniels rolled into town? Tress Way. You want to know who no longer wears number 5 in this town? Tress Way, Jaden Daniels has that number. The number means something to him. I don't know if it has some sort of extra meaning, whether it's a family member or there's some sort of sentimental value to the number 5, or, you know, I love the number 4. Reason I love the number 4, it's the number I was given when I first started playing basketball. There's no other attachment I have. I have nothing else to it. Is that why, though? That was his first number? I don't know. It's something maybe I have to do a little deeper digging on. But it's clear the number 5 means a lot to Jaden Daniels. Again, it should have been pretty clear for us to point back to. He wanted the number 5 off of Tress Way's back. And he's willing to give him some great gifts for it. Like I think the exchange that Jaden and Tress made was pretty cool. I'm not sure if it's out there or not, but it's pretty cool. Like the basically getting like a VIP treatment at an LSU game when Oklahoma pulls up to Baton Rouge. Like, that stuff is cool. I appreciate that. And the way that went by, and I think the Commanders handled it well by you could bring back your number 5 Tress Way jersey and turn it in for a number 10 Tress Way jersey and all those things. And by the way, there's not many teams around the NFL where it was a legitimate controversy, if you remember, that Tress Way was going to give up his number 5. The punter was going to give up his number, and it was a little bit of a controversy. Shows how much of an impact Tress Way has had in his time here. But clearly this means something to Jaden. And I think what this boils down to me is this is just two sides, not necessarily in the wrong, but being a little bit petty. And unfortunately for Jaden, he ends up on the wrong side in the public eye. But if you boil it down to just making it the simplest terms possible, it basically works out to, hey, you used my number when I asked or was promised you wouldn't, so stop using my name, image, and likeness to promote your university and in recruiting. Enough. And that's two sides being petty. That's LSU being petty and Lane Kiffin, who lives in the petty world. He loves that. But I don't know that I necessarily blame Lane Kiffin in this one. But he also isn't, he didn't care to drum up the controversy. He lives off of that. But he basically said, all right, whatever. You can have Jaden's old number. You were promised it in your recruiting process. Even though maybe he'd been told in the past, talking about Jaden, that they wouldn't give out his number 5. And then on the flip side, Jaden said, okay, you gave out the number. We'll screw you in return. You can't use my name, image, and likeness anymore. Because by the way, Jaden Daniels has become synonymous with LSU. How often do you see images? Maybe not as much anymore because he's had some of the great plays now in a burgundy and gold. But it's not like you don't see Jaden Daniels in an LSU jersey when you turn on some LSU game or some sort of anything to deal with that time period. Jaden Daniels made that jersey really, really cool. Not that Joe Burrow didn't before him or others before them, but Jaden Daniels, after a little bit of a down period, Coach O getting fired, he made LSU really, really cool again. The way that he played, the swag that he has, the same way that Jaden Daniels has been one of the better selling jerseys across the National Football League the last couple of years. Yeah, he made LSU cool. So I can understand it. Clearly meant something to him. But just reading from the ESPN story, former LSU coach Brian Kelly said that he believed number 5 was promised to Pickett during his recruitment, but Kelly chose not to issue it to him because Daniels wasn't on board with Pickett wearing his number. So I don't know if that is a Brian Kelly had asked Jaden and said, hey, you have a problem here, and Jaden's like, I'd prefer he not wear it, or if that was something that Jaden had said, please don't give out the number 5, which is customary, generally, for Heisman Trophy winners in Baton Rouge. Kelly went on to say, quote, I just wasn't prepared to do it until we got a full commitment from another Heisman Trophy winner, talking about Daniels. We didn't want to issue number 9, Burrow's old number, so you can't treat one differently from the other. And then this directly, at the center of the dispute, according to a statement from Daniels' spokesperson, ESPN, is that the Tigers are allowing sophomore cornerback DJ Pickett to wear the number 5 jersey that Daniels wore when he became LSU's third Heisman Trophy winner in 2023. So again, I think this just ultimately boils down to LSU did something in giving away the number 5 jersey to DJ Pickett that clearly hurt Jaden, and Jaden in return said, screw you. I don't know that there's a lot more to this. Would I have done this? Probably not. Because I think the issue here for Jaden, and I think the lot of the reaction nationally, or at least on socials, has been against Jaden. That to me is why this wasn't worth it. Is it something that you maybe could try to work out or do something with? Yeah. Maybe it's not the right time. Maybe it's something you want to deal with more truly in the offseason, not in training camp leading up to the first preseason game tomorrow. Maybe that's something you could do. But the Tigers aren't innocent in this either. Jaden Daniels has his number given out. Joe Burrow didn't have his given out. Others didn't have theirs given out. And I've already laid out that Joe Burrow won a national championship there. Billy Cannon won a national championship on top of winning a Heisman Trophy. That's something that Jaden Daniels wasn't able to accomplish. I just think it ends up in a situation where Jaden gets made to look a lot worse than LSU in this situation. And sometimes you got to choose your battles, right? That's the saying. I don't know that this is one I would have chosen. I just don't. Because you know immediately that everyone's going to turn on you and say, oh, this, oh, that, Jaden's mom this, Jaden's mom that, regardless of whether that's it or not. Who knows? But that's where immediately everyone's going to go, to which, I'm getting buddies in a fantasy football league saying, sending me stuff all over the place on Twitter. It's all over the place now. And Jaden probably can handle all of it. And maybe he understood the recourse that was going to happen and said, let's go through with it anyways. But it's just a little odd, and it was something that didn't seem to fit exactly into what I'd known of Jaden Daniels in his time here in D.C. 800-636-1067. What do you make of the Jaden and LSU spat? We'll continue talking about it coming up at 8:30. Hunt Palmer from the LSU Sports Radio Network going to join us. You're listening to The Fan. Welcome back. Overtime on The Fan. Toby Altizer with you till 11. Coming up in about 10 minutes, Hunt Palmer from the LSU Sports Radio Network. He's going to join us. Want to get his thoughts on this whole situation from the LSU side. I think they come out looking fine, ironically, just because of the fact that so many people immediately side with the team. Now, obviously, here in D.C., the DMV, people are going to side with Jaden Daniels. People in Baton Rouge, they're going to be on their team side. And I would say nationally, people are going to be on the team side on this. I just don't think that this is something that's going to affect the team, though. I really don't. I think this is something that'll be talked about. It'll be maybe an annoyance of sorts. I don't think this takes away from anything that Jaden Daniels is trying to do to get ready for the season. I don't think that this takes away from really even necessarily his impact at LSU, but it's going to tarnish the way that people at LSU feel about him. And again, that goes back to my whole point on this. I don't know that it's worth it. I just don't. You have to understand when you have actions, there are going to be consequences. They can be good or bad. In this situation, LSU opted to make a decision here that was going to frustrate Jaden Daniels by giving away his number and it clearly means a lot to him. Regardless what you think of it, it means a lot to him. So they made their decision. Jaden made his decision in return. He said, you know what? I am going to tell you to stop using my stuff. That's fine. Neither side is necessarily wrong there. Didn't commit anything, any sort of crime or anything. But I think for Jaden, you have to understand that this is going to be some of the reaction. And if your thought process is, it's worth it. And by the way, I heard some people calling in today during Grant and Danny. Maybe didn't have a chance to get them on because it was a short show. It's an interesting point to be made that with the way that current college sports are constituted and just certain everything's about money. Not that it necessarily wasn't before, but it's just more obvious now. Could we see more athletes doing these sorts of things where, hey, stop using my name, image, and likeness to benefit your program because you're not paying me anymore? I'm not getting anything from this. Could we see that happen a little bit more where people get frustrated at their alma mater and say, well, screw you, stop using my name. Stop using pictures of me around the facility. I don't know. Maybe you could see that. I don't know that most people have ill will towards their alma maters. I don't even necessarily know that Jaden has ill will. It sounds like the other part I'd love to know about this. How much is Jaden himself? I don't think he's not involved at all. I think he knows what's going on. I'm sure he's got a hand in it. But is this Jaden? Or is this other people around Jaden Daniels that are saying, hey, this is stupid. Let's go get him. And Jaden's like, yeah, whatever. And then they do it. And like he knows what's going on, cares a little bit. But he's like, I got real football to worry about. And yeah, it means a lot to me. I'd prefer they not do it. And then they're like, we'll handle it then. Or is it a case where Jaden's like, this is stupid. I'm really mad about this. Let's go after him. I don't know. That would be another interesting part of this. But again, I think my overarching point on all of this, in my opinion, because I don't know that I necessarily feel strongly that, this is, you know, Jaden's being an idiot. I don't think it's a great look for him. No question about it. I don't think it's something that he comes out looking all rosy. I don't know that LSU necessarily does either, but I think a majority of people look at it and go, whatever, on LSU's side. Jaden's being petty. I think that's the way that it's perceived nationally, and I think that was always going to be the case when you decide to make these moves. But I would just love to know how much Jaden is involved in all of this decision-making to send the cease and desist, to say, hey, they use my number. We'll screw you in return. I don't know. It's just a weird situation. And it seems like something that isn't very Jaden Daniels-like in terms of every time we've seen him speak here in D.C., he's been nothing but professional. And I don't know that this falls in the unprofessional territory necessarily, but he's always been a team-first guy, and this is an individual thing. This is as highly individual as it gets. Hey, you're giving away my number five. So I don't know that this is something that you say, well, did we not know Jaden Daniels all along? And he's maybe different than we all thought. I don't think that's the case. But it's certainly intriguing because he is still a mystery. I think we all know a little bit about Jaden Daniels. I can tell you this, though. I know more about Patrick Mahomes than I knew Jaden Daniels. I know more about, I would say, over half the quarterbacks in the league than I do Jaden Daniels. Heck, I watched quarterback, and I still feel like I barely know a lot of him. And he's a very private guy, and maybe he's a pretty simple guy. But this just doesn't seem like something I would have thought would have happened with Jaden Daniels. But at the same point, you can look at it from the flip side if you're on Jaden's camp and go, well, why the heck are they screwing me and not giving away Joe Burrow's number? So it's an interesting back and forth. Let's talk to Hunt Palmer from the LSU Sports Radio Network. I want to get his thoughts on how people in Baton Rouge feel all about this and what the thought process is down there with all the controversy going on today with Jaden Daniels and LSU. We'll talk to Hunt Palmer next here on Overtime on the Fan. 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer with you. It's time to get out to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Welcome in our guest from the LSU Sports Radio Network. That is Hunt Palmer. Hunt, what's going on? How are you doing tonight?
A lot's going on down here. Not what I expected to wake up to this morning, but here we are.
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing. I was up last night when it came across the timeline. My producer texted it to me last night, and I'm like, really? Like, of all the guys that I would have expected to see with this sort of a deal going down, I would not have expected Jaden Daniels and LSU.
Yeah, it surprises me, too. Jaden was only here in Baton Rouge for 2 years, but for those 2 years, he was an exemplary representation of the university. He was obviously a tremendous player, stepped in and immediately took on a leadership role as a transfer quarterback and was great, and I think has been nothing but a great representative of LSU beyond his time here in Baton Rouge. So today was a little bit jarring to me as well.
What do you make of the side here for LSU? Because I want to get – we were talking about Jaden all day today on the station, and I would say that obviously around here in the DMV, everybody's on Jaden's side naturally, but I would say nationally most people side with the Tigers. But what did you make of the decision to let Pickett wear number 5? That, you know, Lane Kiffin obviously inherits that whole situation and decides on that. But what did you make of that decision?
Well, there are four actors here. It's Jaden, it's Brian Kelly, it's Lane Kiffin, and it's DJ Pickett. And what happens is DJ Pickett is promised that number by Brian Kelly on the previous staff and his cornerbacks coach. It's something that's very, very important to him. I think that's completely childish, but it's very important to him. It's tattooed on his arm. It's the only number he's ever worn. And he checked with Oregon and Miami, his other two finalists, to be sure that he could wear number 5 in college. It was that important to him. And so Brian Kelly and that staff, in effort to get him to campus, made that promise. And then when Jaden Daniels did not sign off on it last year, Brian Kelly made the decision to say, you can't wear it, let's wear a 3. And I don't know any more details about that exact decision because Brian Kelly's not here anymore, and DJ Pickett did not address it today. So I don't know what exactly happened then. But you didn't have Jaden Daniels' blessing. So then you fast forward when there's a new staff in town and Lane Kiffin's here. And there's a contract negotiation in the college ranks every single year because every player can enter the transfer portal. They all want more money. They have the leverage. They can go wherever they want. And DJ Pickett didn't ask for LSU for more money. He asked LSU that he wanted 5 or else I'm probably going to leave. And Lane Kiffin went to Jaden Daniels and said, hey, he went to his camp and said, hey, we got this situation. Are you okay with that? And Jaden said, no, I don't want anyone to wear 5. No one's worn 9 since Joe Burrow left. No one was worn 20 since Billy Cannon left in the 60s. And so those two Heisman winners haven't had their jerseys worn. No, I don't want anybody to wear mine. And Lane Kiffin's now caught between his star cornerback who's leveraging him or the quarterback that he didn't coach that's been gone for 3 years who says, I don't really want you to do that. And it's not like the number is retired. So Lane Kiffin said, well, was promised to him in recruiting, we got to keep this kid around, you can wear 5. And at that point, LSU's made their decision and DJ Pickett gets what he wants. And then Jaden's ticked off about it. And there are two ways that Jaden could approach that. And one is to go, I really don't like that, but there's not much I can do about it. I'll have my day in Tiger Stadium. They'll retire my number like they did Billy Cannon's, like they will Joe Burrow's. I'll get a statue like Billy Cannon does, and I'll be forever etched on Tiger Stadium South End Zone facade. Or he can throw a fit and get an attorney involved and issue a cease and desist and say, you can't use my pictures and you can't use my highlights and you can't have my awards and can't do all that. And then really tarnish a legacy that was great. He said he wanted respect and felt disrespected. He had all the respect in the world with the LSU fan base, and he ripped away a lot of it today. It will come back in time. Time heals all wounds. It will come back, but right now LSU fans are not happy with him because everyone kind of looks at this and goes, man, it's just a number, and that's not that big a deal. Just go win with the Commanders, and we'll see you when you come back and get your number retired. So that's kind of the nuts and bolts of the whole deal.
Yeah, and that's where I think it's difficult because Lane Kiffin's sitting there saying, I've got to keep this guy. He's one of the best young guys at that position in the country. I don't want to lose him. And so he makes that decision. But, you know, back to Jaden, to me, the point I was making before you hopped on here, talking with Hunt Palmer from LSU Radio Network, I don't know that this is worth the squeeze for Jaden. I don't know that the juice is worth the squeeze here. Like, making this decision, understanding that this is going to backfire nationally, but then specifically in Baton Rouge with a very passionate LSU fan base that was always behind him, you've suddenly turned them into an enemy. How much damage? You said it feels like it, you know, at some point that relationship will be fixed again, but how much damage in the short term has he done?
Today was bad. It was really bad. And to your point of the juice is not worth the squeeze, think about how Jaden, and I use air quotes here, wins. Because Pickett's not going to give the number up. It's tattooed on his arm. He wants the jersey number. It was promised him. He wants to win, is that no one wears five. Well, that's not possible. So now we're on to the second part of this. And so how do you quote-unquote win if you're Jaden? Do you win by issuing a cease and desist, taking your awards out of the trophy room, taking your pictures off the wall, and not getting your number retired, which it absolutely would have been? Like, is that a win for you to issue the cease and desist just so you can say, huh, told you so, see what you did now? Like, and nobody down here, that doesn't affect anybody down here. It only affects how they feel about you. The way you win is to just swallow your pride and go, you know what? I don't like that, but I'm just going to go play quarterback for the Washington Commanders, and I don't want to even watch DJ Pickett play football, and everybody will forget he wore number five, and then I'll come back in 10 years and have my number retired forever like Billy Cannon's. That was the win, and he didn't take it. He acted emotionally. People in his camp gave him bad advice, and yeah, it's been a bad day for him down here. Like, so this for reference, we don't have a big league baseball team down here, and I'm a huge baseball fan. My idol growing up was Sammy Sosa. I watched WGN every day. I watch the Cubs. I still love the Cubs. I'm a diehard to this day. But the Cubs had a falling out at the end with Sammy Sosa, and he was banished from Wrigley Field for 20 years. And finally, he came back, and they welcomed him, and he sang the stretch, and it was all kumbaya. It took 2 decades, and I don't think it'll take – this is not that bad. But it was a really bad day for him in the short term with people at LSU.
Yeah, it's just a weird situation because, to me, I look at – do you think LSU puts themselves in a weird spot here where it's tough to retire everybody's number in college when you're going to have such large rosters, and especially in the SEC? I mean, we were talking about some of the Alabama Heisman Trophy winners that, you know, Bryce Young's number gets worn again next season or the season after that, right? It's kind of tough to do when you've got guys and you play the caliber of football. Like, I work with Virginia Tech. If they retired numbers all the time, it wouldn't be as big a deal because it's not like people are winning Heismans at Virginia Tech all the time. You know, like, it's only happened 3 times at LSU, but, you know, twice in a 4-year stretch there, right? So it's not as if you don't expect to have another Heisman Trophy winner at LSU. Do you think they put themselves in a bad spot with that sort of a situation where, hey, Joe Burrow's not going to have his number 9 worn, you're not going to have Billy Cannon wore his number worn again, but they're not really retired, but they kind of are?
So here's the deal at LSU, and the retired number is an antiquated practice because eventually when you've got to dress out 88 guys, 95 guys, whatever the case may be with walk-ons, like, you need all the numbers. So it's an antiquated practice, but LSU has 5 names up in Tiger Stadium: Billy Cannon, Jerry Stovall, Tommy Casanova, Charles Alexander, and then soon to be Burt Jones this year. And Joe Burrow will go up, and Glenn Dorsey will go up, and Jaden will go up. But the only number of that group, the 5 that's quote-unquote retired, Billy Cannon, the 1959 Heisman Trophy winner, is the only one whose number is not worn. No one wears 20. The other 4 numbers are worn every day. Charles Alexander had his number 4 retired last year, and it's his jersey that's retired. And Mansoor Delane was running around there in number 4. He was the top 10 pick in the draft. Mm-hmm. 7 is Burt Jones's number. That'll be retired this year. People wear it. 37's retired. People wear it. Billy Cannon, the Heisman winner, no one wears 20. And that would happen for Joe and Jaden. And part of this deal is that no one's worn 9 since Joe Burrow left in 2019. And they've done that on purpose. And no one had worn 5 since Jaden. And they did that on purpose. And the representation for Jaden said that they felt disrespected and wanted to be treated like Joe Burrow. And the fact of the matter is that he is being treated like Joe Burrow. No one wore the number after he left. He's not even eligible to have his jersey retired yet. You have to be gone 5 years. And the only reason this is the thing is because DJ Pickett specifically asked. It's not like they reserved Joe's number, put it off in the corner, and they said, oh, does anybody want 5? That's available. This was a specific ask. He could have just as likely asked for 9. And that's why the disrespect thing doesn't play at all. It holds no water because they did respect his jersey and no one wore it. And then DJ Pickett came to the table and said, I'm wearing this number. And then they got put in a bind. So it's just, it's a miscommunication. There's a lack of judgment on all sides here. I think Pickett is being just as childish as Jaden Daniels. And I think Lane Kiffin was in a tough spot. And I know nobody likes Lane Kiffin nationally, but he actually was a rational actor here. He was in a rock and a hard place, and he took the team he's got right now that's $40 million invested in it and said, well, I need my cornerback. I'll deal with Jaden another time. But it's just been a series of bad decisions that never should have gone this public. But to your point initially, yes, retiring everybody's number who's really good at LSU, you're going to run out of numbers really quickly. But there's only one that's technically off the books right now, and that's number 20.
Last one, talking with Hunt Palmer of the LSU Sports Radio Network. How do you think this ends? I mean, you said that you feel like in years this will get patched up, but in the short term, is this something where you're not going to see Jaden Daniels' name, image, and likeness around Baton Rouge anymore? Or is this something that, or how does this end up going?
So a cease and desist is not a legally binding document. They can sue you for not doing what they ask you to do, which they haven't done yet. And at that point, they could. The Heisman Trophy will stay at LSU. When you win the Heisman, two are issued, one to the player, one to the school. It's the school's property. It's not Jaden's. So that's going to stay. And he could come down here and demand via lawsuit that you take down all my plaques and take my picture off the wall and don't show my highlight video of him throwing the touchdown to Mason Taylor to beat Alabama. They can say, LSU does a Tigers in the Pros segment in Tiger Stadium every Saturday, and it's in like the third quarter, and they show every player that's in the NFL, and the last four are Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow, Jaden Daniels, and they get the loudest applause. The guys that play left guard or backup linebackers at the beginning, and then they crescendo with the great players at the end. He can say, don't do that anymore, and they could or could not. My sense is, it just depends on how Jaden wants to handle this. If he wants to say, this is a stupid fight, the kid's going to wear the number, let me go play quarterback for the Commanders, which he should, I think it all kind of blows over and he can mend fences. If he wants to pursue it legally, it could go deeper. But I truly, truly, truly believe the cooler heads will prevail. DJ Pickett will move on. And eventually, Jaden Daniels will have his night in Saturday night in Death Valley, and they'll put his five up on the facade and he'll get an applause. But for the short term, it's hard to see that. But I fully, fully expect that happens.
I lied. Last question.
Sure.
Assuming that they don't take Jaden out of that highlight tape, when they play Clemson on September 5th, it gets shown. What's the reaction when Jaden pops up?
Depending on the communication publicly on social media, if it was tonight, or if it was, say it was Saturday night, it's Thursday. If it was Saturday night, he'd get booed. Ugh. And that breaks my heart. I would never do that. I still am so thankful I got to watch him play. It was an absolute joy. I think this is a lapse in judgment, and I don't really care. I would applaud him, and I'm going to pull for Washington this year, like I pull for Cincinnati. Those are the Heisman quarterbacks from here, and that's what I'll do. But if it played on Saturday, he would get booed. Ben Simmons he's not in the NBA anymore. But he got mercilessly booed at every basketball game by the 1,200 people that were there. If you say something negative once you leave, which Ben Simmons said he hated college and all this kind of stuff, this is a way of life for people down here. And essentially what Jaden has said is, I don't care about LSU right now, and get rid of me. And that's just not the way to endear yourself to a fan base.
No, it certainly isn't. It's a crazy situation. I mean, it's funny because I'm out there yesterday watching him in a joint practice with the Dolphins, and he looked like the best player on the field and looks like everything you could ever dream of. And then that comes out last night, and you're like, what the heck? Like, did not expect
to
see
that. Well,
I can
tell you this. I don't know everybody that plays for Washington. I don't know everybody that plays for the Dolphins, but I bet he was the best player on the field because I watched him for 2 years here in Baton Rouge, especially that last year, and he was always the best player on the field. And I hope Washington has an awesome year with him playing quarterback. I just wish things didn't go the way they did today.
Yeah, well, hopefully it gets smoothed over and fixed sooner rather than later. Hunt, appreciate you hopping on, man.
Absolutely, anytime.
That's Hunt Palmer from the LSU Sports Radio Network. I think you can hear in there kind of the feelings of people in Baton Rouge of, man, we've always loved Jaden Daniels. We love the way that he played the game here. But what the heck, man? And that's where I think it's interesting. Again, I don't know that it was worth the squeeze on this one, the juice is worth the squeeze on this one for Jaden. I just don't. But you can certainly understand the frustration, too, when I don't necessarily agree with everything that Hunt said. But the idea that, like, oh, he got the same treatment, but they were willing to give out the 5 jersey, I don't know, it's tough. Like, this is a situation where everybody's put in a bad spot, and maybe it's, again, being a little bit petty, things that ultimately don't matter. DJ Pickett, oh, I've got to get number 5 or I'm going to leave. Well, that's a little bit petty and stupid, but all right. Jaden Daniels, like, oh, you can't use my name, image, and likeness anymore because you gave away the number 5. Well, Lane Kiffin's in a horrible spot. I'm supposed to just let my great corner leave and go somewhere else to another college that I could run into in the college football playoff if I have my dreams and let him go because he's going to wear a jersey number that is a quarterback that I admired from afar, and I'm sure he played Ole Miss in his time there, and he probably beat you, but I don't have any loyalty owed to Jaden Daniels. I didn't coach him. So I don't blame Lane Kiffin either. It's just a very weird spot, a weird situation. Hopefully something that can be smoothed over, because I do think that fan base truly loves Jaden. You're just around him at any point. You can see the infectious personality, so I hope that that can get fixed, but really interesting to get Hunt's perspective on that from the LSU side. 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. I do want to talk about Jaden, the football player. I want to talk about what I saw from him so far in training camp. Yesterday in joint practice, looked like the best player on the field, like I mentioned. Some of the things that I've seen from Jaden, I want to talk about that. We'll get into preseason opener tomorrow. We'll get into that at 9 o'clock. B. Mitch and Finley talked about a startership play. We'll get into that discussion at 9. Again, 800-636-1067. Toby Altizer with you on the Fan. All right, enough number talk. Let's talk real football. It's overtime on the Fan. Toby Altizer with you till 11 o'clock. We'll keep it on the Jaden Daniels discussion. I do want to get into the preseason opener coming up in about 10 minutes. But let's talk about Jaden, the football player. He's been spectacular in training camp. He started a little bit slow. I thought he got off to a little bit of a uneven start the first couple of days of camp. But once he's really settled in, he's been unbelievable. Yesterday was the joint practice. And if you've ever been to a joint practice, you understand it's kind of hard to keep an eye on everything going on. So once they do the individual stuff and then they split into doing some of the team periods, 7-on-7, red zone, third down work, all the team period, 11-on-11, they're on two opposite fields. If you've been out to Ashburn, you know, you see they're running parallel to each other. They're right next to each other, one further closer to the woods, the other closer to the stands there set up for training camp. But you got Dolphins defense versus Commanders offense, and then vice versa on the other field. And so it's tough to see everything going on. So I'll admit I didn't get to watch every Jaden rep. And even when I did get to watch some, I was watching kind of in between the fields. So it was more like, instead of being 100% locked in on one thing, it was more like, I don't know, you want to say 60% locked in on both things, which I know doesn't add up to 100%, but you get the point. Like, you're sacrificing a little bit, but you get to watch both things. I'll say this. When number 5 was on the field for Washington, that dude was different than everybody else. I watched Marcus Mariota throw the football. I watched Malik Willis throw the football. I watched Quinn Ewers throw the football. I think their third quarterback in Miami is Cam Miller. I watched him throw the football. Not like there was steep competition for Jaden, but he was clearly the best quarterback, and I would say best player on the field in that joint practice. The way that he was able to operate David Blau's offense gives me a lot of hope that this offense this season is going to be really good. It's different, and it's pushing him in a way that Cliff's offense frankly didn't do. And I always go back to this. I wasn't a Cliff hater. I understood his limitations. I understood some of the frustrations for a lot of people around Cliff. But I didn't feel like, you know, his offense was atrocious and, you know, had been passed by and all these sorts of things. But I understood the limitations. Now getting Jaden into a much more pro style of offense, it's almost like taking a kid and saying, like, you've got to eat your vegetables, and then they grow up big and strong, right? Like, hey, you've got to make sure that you have a healthier diet here. You can't just eat candy. You can't just eat the stuff that you like. You have to sometimes eat the stuff that you don't really like so that you can get the necessary nutrients and things. that's kind of what it feels like to me with Jaden in this offense, where at first he's like, I don't know how much, you know, I necessarily love under center. Not that he ever said any of this, but just judging by what you'd seen in his career, college and pros, I don't know that I necessarily want to live under center. I don't know that I necessarily want to run play action bootlegs where my back turned, all those sorts of things. And now that you're starting to see some of it come into fruition and get put into place, man, does he look good. Now, again, it's a joint practice. We haven't even seen him in a preseason game. We'll see if we ever do see him in a preseason game this season before the week one. I don't know if he'll play. I would doubt that he plays tomorrow. Maybe he plays a little bit in the second game against Detroit, but even then, I don't know. I would doubt that he plays in the third game coming off of a joint practice with the Ravens. So I doubt that you'll see much more than a quarter at most of Jaden in the preseason. Regardless, what we've seen out in Ashburn has been so impressive from him and feels like you've seen him play at a level like we saw down the stretch in 2024, with the added element that this is a different style of offense that asks him to do some different things that he didn't really ever do in his first two seasons in the pros. And one of the things that's really encouraged me is last season, and even in 2024, before he really started to take that next step and get to that next level of play, sometimes he'd get outside the pocket and his eyes wouldn't stay down the field and he wasn't looking to throw. I think he really struggled with that last season. From what we've seen so far in camp, when he gets outside the pocket or he's moving around, and some of this is natural because you're running a play-action bootleg, but he is looking down the field trying to throw the football. At times last year, it looked like he was running to run. This year, it looks like he is scrambling, looking down the field to pass. That's going to make a massive difference because he is so pinpoint. He is so good at understanding what's coming on. I mean, just multiple times you'll see him roll out. He'll see somebody in the middle, and I know that's kind of ill-advised to an extent, but he's able to survey, kind of understands where everybody is, and hits the receiver. He's so talented. So seeing him now work in that space where you're getting that run action and then he's looping off of it, I think is going to be really, really good. It's going to create a lot of problems. I mean, just think schematically, defensively, when you're trying to defend this guy. If you're playing in a zone, then maybe you have a little more answers. But if you're playing like a man-to-man type of defense and you go off of that, if the linebacker has to stay back or, you know, whatever it may be with a crosser, well, then he can just potentially take off and run if there's nobody right there in the flat. Or if you have the linebacker or the flat defender come down and crash on Jaden, now he just lets it go right in behind. And he's going to be really good at that. And I think he also looks really comfortable under center. That's something that Grant had noted last week about, or earlier this week about him, is he's looked much more comfortable than you would have imagined. You would have thought that this is a guy that's played under center his entire life. He has not, but he looks comfortable. You don't even notice. You don't even think about the fact that, oh, this is something that he's never done it before, but he's doing it at a much higher clip than he's ever done it. It looks very comfortable. All right, let's get into preseason opener tomorrow. I don't think we'll see many of the starters, but do you think we should? Thought I was interested in listening to Beamish and Finley driving in today. Thought they had some good points. I want to talk about some of the things that Beamish, obviously an NFL legend himself, had to say about playing starters in the preseason. We'll talk about that next. If you'd like to hop in, feel free, 800-636-1067. Toby Altizer with you on the Fan.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB. and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
People say, "I got you," all the time. Dads say it to their kids the first time they ride a bike. Friends say it to other friends when they buy them lunch. It's a good thing when someone's got you. It's especially good when someone's got you with important things like your health. And that's where WeShare's got you. We got you with a massive nationwide network of over 1 million doctors, which means you can likely keep your current doctor you know and trust. We got you with affordable prices that can save individuals up to $5,000 annually compared to traditional insurance, and save families even more. And we've got you with over 68,000 CVS Caremark pharmacies across the country. If you're tired of overpriced health insurance bills, come visit us at WeShareHealth.org or call 1-888-WeShare. Other smart Americans are making the switch every day. In a world filled with companies that cost you, it's nice to have one that's got you. WeShareHealth. We got you.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.